Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. Make sure to follow me on my Apple Podcast and Spotify and download your favorite scary stories, Tales from the Dark Forest. Shout out to my patrons and all my channel members, and let's get spooky. Driving home along the winding forested road, I was riding an emotional high. I had the first good weekend in ages, and I couldn't help but feel overjoyed, humming along with the static tunes that poured from my radio. My friend, Tamara, had recently bought a farmhouse out in the country and had invited me over for the weekend to help her with painting. I didn't think I was any good at painting, but she insisted, bribing me with wine and chocolate. Her pretty brown eyes certainly had nothing to go with me agreeing. She made good on her promise, providing plenty of chocolate and even a few movies between finishing rooms. Surprisingly, painting an old farmhouse was a welcomed break from grad school and work. It was nice to get caught up in hearing Tamara's fantasy of owning a little farm, raising chickens, and making art. To be honest, she could be talking about the most boring thing in the world, and I'd hang on every little word. I had it bad. I had been in love with her for years now, and could feel those three little words hanging in the back of my throat every time that I looked at her. I had thought about telling her this weekend, but chickened out at the thought of rejection. And there went the good mood, and here comes the crushing anxiety. Gripping the steering wheel, the radio lost all signal and fuzzed out into pure static. I got so distracted by the sudden loss of music and the loud static that I almost didn't see the deer in the middle of the freaking road. I slammed on the brakes with a loud curse. My headlights illuminated the deer. A doe, really, that had made its way out of the dark forest. I stared at the literal deer in the headlights, waiting for it to move. I slowly inched my car forward, glad that I hadn't actually hit it, and hoping that the movement of my car would send it on its way. It didn't move. It just stood there, staring at me, unblinking. I honked the horn, hoping to scare it, and nothing. It still didn't move. Now I was annoyed, fearing that if I attempted to go around it, that it would spook out and run into my car. The radio going completely silent pulled me away from my staring contest with the deer. I poked at the dial as the sound of my car idling filled my ears. Nothing. When I looked back up, the deer was gone, and I sighed with relief, ready to finish the 45-minute drive to my small apartment. I had a paper to write and turn in by tomorrow. The professor wouldn't take late work even if you were in the hospital. I was just about to start driving again when I heard a sound against my driver's side window. A soft snuffle. I turned my head and came face to face with the deer still staring at me with its forehead pressed against the window. Some might consider this a magical, cute moment, but I was filled with an odd sense of unease that crept up my spine. It was then that I noticed that the deer wasn't right. It was too big. The color was off. I couldn't move as icy fear filled my veins. Part of my brain telling me that this was irrational, it was a deer, not some fearsome predator. That part of my brain that spent years in therapy said that I needed to take a deep breath and think through what was triggering my fear. The other part of my brain was just screaming. The deer, without breaking eye contact, took a few steps back, and only then did those dark, bottomless eyes leave mine. As it stepped back, it started to slowly open its mouth. The deer continued to open its mouth wider and wider, far past what was natural. Its snake-like jaws gapped open as rows of sharp teeth began to sprout from its gray gums. The back of its throat was a black pit. As the teeth formed, the deer's skin began to decay, sloughing off, revealing dark gray muscle. Its slimy form glistened into a barely there moonlight. It stepped closer, pressing its open maw against the glass, saliva oozing down the window. This was no deer. This was some ungodly abomination. Why wouldn't my body move? Panic flooded through me, but I couldn't scream. It caught in my throat. And that's when it got worse. From the back of its throat rose two bright blue human-like eyes. They would have been pretty if it weren't for the monstrous creature that they were a part of. As I made eye contact with the thing, a simple command flooded my head. Open the door. Rang to every corner of my frightened brain. My arms started to shake violently as I once again tightened my grip on the steering wheel, resisting the command. A large part of me wanted to live and knew opening the door meant instant death. The command went crashing through my head again, and this time louder. The voice was genderless and altogether terrible, a hungry cosmic being. As I continued to resist the command, images of my life began to flood my head as cold sweat dripped down from my brow. I gritted my teeth. The memories started off with the relentless teasing I went through as a child. My family had never been rich enough to afford the nice things, and the other kids noticed the thrifted, often dirty clothing. Next, a memory of one girl from middle school, who used scissors to cut up the back of my favorite shirt while her friends kept me from getting away. Howling laughter from middle schoolers crowded in with the command to open the door. Thoughts of high school mocking morphed into my dad drunkenly fighting with my mom and stating to her that he wished I had never been born. Caring for me cut into his alcohol fund. My mom was almost too high to care about his words outside of a few weeble attempts to pacify him. They found religion the year I graduated, and that was almost worse than the drugs and alcohol. Another image pushed into my mind of my parents finding out that I was a lesbian from my freshman year of college and kicking me out in the name of being holy. Crashing waves of crippling anxiety marked my existence. It was a miracle that I made it to grad school with a full-ride scholarship. It was one of the few things that kept me afloat. Suddenly, the yawning void that stood before me felt peaceful. The blue eyes looked kind and offering me hope. I just had to open the door and it would all make everything better. There would be no use to write another paper or face rejection. My parents wouldn't be able to look at me with disappointed eyes or ignore my messages for years. I wouldn't have to bear the idea of losing my closest friend if she ever found out what I kept from her. My hands left the steering wheel and crept towards the door. As they did, I felt the creature's glee at the idea of having me as a meal. I knew that should have sent me panicking. But I was caught in a trance with my screaming insanity somewhere in the background. I placed my hand on the door handle and got ready to pull. The thing that was not a deer stomped its hoof in what I figured was anticipation. The only thing that saved me from pulling open the door in those moments was a real deer that came crashing from the underbrush of the surrounding trees and into the road. It stopped running and stared at the predator in what I was sure was animalistic terror. Fortunately for me, the sudden presence of the deer broke the creature's concentration just long enough that I could pull my hand away from the door, face forward, take the brakes off, and ram my foot on the gas. My flight instinct kicked in with full force and I took off screaming. By some miracle, I avoided hitting the other deer that was now frozen in fear. Behind me, I heard a roar of rage, but I kept going as fast as I could without crashing. I made it back to the city limits in record time, barely registering that the radio had slipped from silence into a song. I think my screaming drowned out any sound I may have heard. As I slowed down, I found myself checking the rearview mirror repeatedly and was relieved that I saw nothing. I half expected the thing to be galloping along behind my car. When I made it home, I dashed into my apartment, grateful for the smallness of it. A worried text awaited me on my phone from Tamara. She was wondering if I made it back okay. I replied with a quick, "I just got back. All safe and sound," smiley face. How would I explain this to her, or anyone for that matter? I was hit with a wave of fatigue as my adrenaline ran out. How I managed to stay up and get my paper done, I will never know. But sleep was pointless that night anyways as my mind raced. I managed to get an A on it. I was impressed with my ability to spout facts and figures on autopilot. That following morning, with the memories still fresh in my mind, I made an appointment with my therapist. I half expected to see that not dear again, but never did. 6 weeks following meeting that thing, I sat across from Tamara. I had dragged her away from remodeling to get some dinner with me at a nice restaurant. It was time to tell her. As horrific as that experience was, it released the part of my voice that I kept pushing down. The intense therapy to deal with all the memories it brought back helped too, of course. All the horrors I faced was not going to keep me from being happy. Tamara looked at me from across the table. She looked stunned with her soft brown eyes and curled hair. But she looked nervous. But before I could say anything, she began speaking rapidly. "I was wanting to tell you when I invited you over this weekend, but I chickened out. But I wanted to let you know that I've been in love with you since I've met you. When I bought that farmhouse, I thought about you, wanting to give you a space there. You looked so happy being there. I know, it was a terrible idea to buy a house in a non-existent relationship in mind. And I do genuinely love it, and it's not an obligation or anything. I just wanted to tell you."
"I love you too," I interrupted.
5 years and many chickens later, I still can't stand the sight of deer.